Firstly, I'd just like to say that I am well out of my comfort zone here in this. My knees are shaking, my elbows feel all funny, and there's a big knot in my stomach, so thank you for embracing it. David didn't tell you how much warning he gave me for this 45-minute presentation, and it wasn't as long as I would have liked. But then, you know, as we say, time, I fit it in, so this is what I came up with in the week. So, thank you, David. Thank you to the Spending Planners Institute, and I'm winging this, which is what we're all doing, really. I think David included, you know, at the start of his start of today, you know, with your, you were winging it, weren't you, with your software and your.
I practiced it word for word.
Mm. No, I mean the journey.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We're all winging it, and it never ends.
Yeah. So I felt like I should get that out there before I start. And when my knees stop shaking, I'll be fine. Right, so.
Give her a wine, she'll be fine.
Oh yeah, that's later.
Among friends.
So thank you, I know. Right, so. My networking journey. So I'm gonna talk about where I started, what I did, who knows whether it was right or wrong, what I learnt, what I would do differently, and then I've ended it with, I think, the bit that you'll benefit most from is the tips, my tips, and the actual facts, the facts of what I did around networking. So, where did I start? I didn't even know what networking was at the beginning. I genuinely didn't, and I like to think I'm a smart person, and I couldn't understand why you would pay somebody or pay a group to do networking. If I thought, if you're good at your job, then surely the clients would just fall into your lap. So when people explained to me what networking was, I literally went to everything. I networked my heart out and I was exhausted, and I used to just drive for hours to these networking events and hang around and hope people liked me, and I used to just waffle about the Spending Planners, about David, about software. Sorry, I'm on to my next slide now. So I got used and abused a lot in a networking sense. I used to pay a lot of times to go to networking events, and I used to sort of mutter under my breath, how can you afford to, you know, how can a small business afford to pay for networking? The very first networking event I went to, I gave out like 10 business cards, and I honestly believed that my phone would ring 10 times the next day. I really believed it. Honestly, I believed it. I did. And then when it didn't, I was offended. I thought everybody was rude, and I thought, this isn't for me. I was on a downer. And so I used to stay back at events and try and, you know, muscle in on everybody. And I did. I bought my boxes of business cards from Vistaprint. And 250 went, and I still had no clients, no interest, no nothing. And no phone calls. And as I think most of you know, I do this full time, so I know a lot of you have got other jobs. So I was like literally waiting around for the phone to ring. And bless them, the only people listening to me and supporting me were my friends, who were really, really good. Sorry, I've written some notes as well. Yeah, and I couldn't understand why people would be interested either in my business. So, what I learned that not everybody is as nice and as honest as you are, because we all like to think we're genuine. People pretend to be interested in you and your business in the hope that you will return the favor. And I don't know how you all feel about MLM or multi-level marketing or pyramid selling. I believe that pyramid selling is different than MLM, but anyway, to me, it's all the same. But one lady I met, that's what I've written here, tell the story about the lady. One lady I met, and she said to me, you've got to come to this event tomorrow night with me. I'm going to introduce you to 120 people. They all need their budgets doing. They're all struggling and rah, rah, and you've got to come to this event. And I said, right, okay, I'll come to the event. So she told me it was in a local pub, and it was in a back room, and she said, it's 120 people. And on this particular night, it was really, really stormy, a really bad storm in Adelaide. And it was like, you know, when your windscreen wipers don't cut it. So anyway, so I drove there, ran in, got wet through, just getting from the car to thing. Anyway, and this room was literally about as big as that table. And I thought, you're not going to get 120 people in here. Anyway, so I thought, you know, I was like doing my be nice thing. So I got myself a drink and sat down. And then seven people rocked up and I sat through a multi-level marketing thing about you know, the power, the electric and whatever. And it was this guy was earning 20 grand a month just from his multi-level. And he showed me his network. And I was muttering to this girl who had invited me, this isn't, where's the 120 people? She goes, oh, the storm. I said, but it's a good job they're not here, isn't it? Because they wouldn't fit in the room. You know what I mean? And basically, she lied to me. And I'm not, you know what I mean? I'm not, you know, I've made mistakes in my life, but I like to say I'm not a good liar. So anyway, so her and I didn't really last very long. And that was part of my, and she was one of the first people that had said, yes, let's go, from all my networking. And then she let me down. I thought, I'm not doing this anymore. So anyway, it's a numbers game for sure. So I went to lots more events. I didn't get as disheartened. I've met people, I still know people that I met on day one, and I've dropped off the ones, you know, like Casey said, you fill your lives with people that are positive and you don't need to, you know, the hangers on or the negative people or the people that drain you. I believe that less is more. I think if I used to, like I said at the beginning, go up to people and drive them mad really, and they go, oh God, right, where's the other coffee, or where's somebody else to talk to? Because I was like, right. And now if somebody asks me, I keep it basic. And somebody told me the other day actually that it's called gold digging. So if you just hint at what you do and then they ask you, and if they ask the questions, it's actually better than if you keep telling them. So apparently it's called gold digging. So yeah, so if somebody asks me now, I just say budgeting and I leave it. I don't say anything else. And then they say, oh, does that involve? So I'll tell you, I've got lots of catchphrases that I feel like I say all the time. So I've listed them all, but it's about three slides full, but anyway. So I've learnt as well to be true to myself. So when people were, you know, using and abusing me and getting me out in on a cold, wet night, so you just have to put it behind you. As Casey said, it's in the past, you know, and she hopefully will have, you know, had her comeuppance. I always talk about fondly the spending planners and the backing of David. I tell David's little story quite often, and I think people love stories. I think it's important to always remember your why. And in all these networking events, they always say to somebody, you know, they always say to you, always know your why. Why are you doing this? You know, and we all want to help people. We all want to, you know, change the world one family at a time. Everybody does need a budget. Whether you're, I was thinking actually earlier, you know, people with their finances. One of my clients is a financial advisor, and one of my potential clients, and I will get him across the line, is a Port Adelaide player who is my neighbour, and he admits to me he hasn't got any savings. And he earns over $500,000 a year, which is perfect, exactly what Dave said. It doesn't matter how much you've got, he hasn't got any savings. But he's got a beautiful $800,000 house and a flash car and the nice girlfriend, and they're getting married and whatever. Anyway, so always remember your why. You want to help people and everybody. And I truly believe this one as well. People will not do business with you if they don't like you. And I don't care how good you are. They won't. That's just, I believe it. And in all of these networking events, they all talk about know, like, trust. It's paramount. You've got to feel like they know you. That's getting back to what David said earlier with the, you know, with the clients. If they feel like you know a little bit of them, then they'll warm to you. So yeah, they've got to know you, they've got to like you, and they've got to trust you. That's paramount. So my next slide is, what would I do differently? And the answer is, not much really, because I'm quite comfortable finding it out myself. I'm quite a stubborn individual, and I'm one of these that says, no, I'll listen to that, but I'm going to do that anyway. So I probably wouldn't do it, but because it's taken me 18 months to get where I am today, I've learned a lot. The only thing I would change, if it is I would listen to my gut more. You know, like there's, like I've got clients probably that I shouldn't take on. I've got people who I have coffee with that I know that, you know, anybody who makes you feel like, oh, there's 2 hours of my life I'll never get back, then I don't. Settle down at the back. and somebody else told me as well that there's professional networkers and there's hobbyists. And by hobbyists, I don't mean the people that do it like the people that don't do spending plan full time. I mean people that just do the job as a hobby. You know what I mean? I'm not being disrespectful to mums, but a lot of mums groups do little makeup things and here and there. And, you know, like, I go to lots of things. Yeah, I drink lots of wine and then I think, oh, God, I've got a good idea, you know. So, yeah, you've got to work out what networking works for you. So, what do I say now in all these networking things that I do? I honestly believe that less is more. I really believe that. I know I'm a chatty person, but I actually don't talk about what I do a lot. In fact, if somebody says, what do? I just say budgeting. And they go, oh, really? And if they say, oh, you like my budget, I say, wash your mouth out. But I say it in a nice way. Wash your mouth out. I say, we're opposite to my budget. And then you're really, why? And then I tell them. Or I'll just say, I help people. Well, this is what I say to them. I give them all the tips and tools they need to get into new habits so they can set and forget all their regular day-to-day finances. And they go, oh, really? And I say, I listen to them, support them along their journey to get their day-to-day finances into good shape, help them realize their goals and dreams, relieve stress, sleepless nights associated with bad habits, plan for a brighter future. And then if they still, And if they still need stuff to talk, I say it's all about the guidance, the support, the accountability, the vision, the goals. And notice at this point, I've not said anything about software, spending plan, fees, anything. I've just generally said what I do. And none of this is, you know, I've never mentioned, apart from pay your bills on time, but I don't go into nitty gritty. It's just general stuff, I think. People generally ask how I do it, so, and what's involved. So the software generally gets brought up. So I say it's, you know, it's awesome, it predicts into the future, it's developing all the time, accommodates all frequencies. I think that's just gold for me, the frequency thing.
Can you go back one slide just so that I can get all of that?
Thank you. I'm happy to share this presentation, by the way.
It's a great form.
Thank you.
That's all right. Yeah, and I love the some stuff that David says, I like take it and I run with it, and some stuff I don't, but he's fine with it, you know. So I love the this particular one allows you to see into the future where your bank statements don't. So, and this, you know, they have these BFAB, your features, advantages and benefits. So it's not small. So the results are your satisfaction that you're in control, you feel empowered, plan ahead for everything, as we know, birthdays, Christmas, radio dilla, stress-free, sleepless nights, no more arguing with your partner over money, clients' dreams can come true. And when they're keen and excited, I say, well, I'll buy you a coffee and chat with you more about it. And they go, oh, really? Awesome. Da-da. And they want to get a time right now and let's go. And I find, if I'm at a networking event, they're a financial planner or a mortgage broker, they will without doubt say, I've got a client database that I want to like talk to you about, and so then you fix up a meeting with them. And I think if you behave like you're doing them a favor, they absolutely love it, because I can't tell you how many financial planners I've met where they say, I'm expected to do a budget, and they don't want to do it, they don't get paid for it, they don't like it. They want to do the stocks, the shares, the investment, the super, the insurances, all of that. And then the day-to-day stuff, they go, God, no. Yeah. But they still have to write it out because they need to do it as part of the client package. And think, God, have I got a job for you? You know, so I just think, for me, financial planners are gold. And in my 18 months of networking, I've now got 17 financial planners on my list. So, tips and facts. My tips are just get your name and what you do out there. I think I spent the first few months, and I'd probably put this on Facebook, where like I was getting upset when people weren't ringing me and this, that, and the other, and I didn't feel people were listening, and the only clients I had were my friends. And in the end, I thought, do you know what? I'm just going to get rid of these second 250 cards. And I thought, 500 people out there have got my cards, and I'm just going to keep telling everybody what I do and wait for them. And I honestly believe that the clients will come to you. You just got to sow your seeds, tell everybody what you do, and they will come. I don't think you have to chase clients. I mean, I think you do have, you know what I mean? Am I making sense? I think if people know what you do, and if you've used all those words like empowerment, pay your bills on time, even if I've had phone calls from people where they've said, oh, somebody gave me your number, you were at a networking event, and they said that you do something about budgeting, is that right? Or you can help me pay my bills on time? Just because of the keywords that you're using, it's just, they'll remember later on. So I stopped focusing on how many clients I had, and you know, and David talked when he introduced me about copying people. I had a fixation with Morgan, and I was like watching what she, you know, Morgan, yeah. I was watching what she was doing and thought, stop being like Morgan, be like Sam. You know what I mean? And I had a file in my stove, and like Morgan did this, and I'm going to copy that, and then she said, I don't mind if you share it. And then I thought, I've got a real issue with that because that's Morgan's and not mine. You know, so I stopped doing that, and so I. So it's all about a learning curve and whatnot. So my tips are, get your name out there. Make sure that they know why you're doing it, because if they don't know why you're doing it, they'll be able to tell. People need to know that you exist and what you do. If you venture off topic a little, that's good, but you stay focused on your business because everyone loves to chat. Remember, know, like, trust. And I think if you're flexible, approachable, and confident, then you're fine. You're fine. If people, you know, and I think Richard Branson says, if somebody asks you if you can do something, you say yes and work out how to do it later. Right? Because I follow Richard Branson, and I think that's good. So many like mortgage brokers, financial planners have said to me, could you do da 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 da? And I go, yeah, of course I can. And then I go home and go, flipping heck. Like, you know what I mean? And some stuff doesn't come off. Like, that's it. In 18 months, although you'll see what I've done in a minute, but in 18 months, I've put a lot of work into networking, and really, I still only have 31 clients. You know what I mean? It's not a lot, I don't think. It's not, you know, so you say yes to everything and be confident in saying yes, work it out after. And we're all here to support each other, so yeah. So these are the facts about my networking journey. In the last 18 months, so since my training in July, I've resulted in 30 clients. I signed up one on the way here, so I got 12 in the first 12 months, which is one a month, which is good, but it's not a lot. And then I got 18 in the next 6 months. So I got more than the same in half the time. Mm-hmm. And my clients have come from networking, Facebook, my website, visiting BNIs, joining a BNI. I've actually got more clients from other BNIs than the one that I'm in. Financial advisor referrals and friends of friends. Most of my clients are from Facebook and networking and financial advisor referrals. But if I hadn't networked, and I had to calculate this, I would only have 5 clients if I hadn't have networked at all. And by networking, I include Facebook in that because it's a network in itself. So for me, like the 25 clients are as a result of networking. And I actually prefer to deal with strangers than friends. It's, you know, my friends are good, and I say, I'm putting my spending planner hat on now and we're going to do this. And then when we've finished, we can have a glass of wine and chat about other stuff. But it's just more comfortable, I think, because I'm more lenient with my friends. I let them off things and go, oh, I've got any money. And I go, oh God, all right. So whereas if it's a client who's come to me, you know, I just put my professional hat on and go, well, that's the, you know, I'm just more strict with the more business-like, I think. So I do spend a lot of time out of my comfort zone, and I'm winging it like I'm winging this now. My knees have stopped shaking though. So as a result of my networking, I have presented my PowerPoint presentation to financial advisors, presented my PowerPoint presentation to mortgage brokers, bookkeepers, accountants. I've done a 30-minute managing your day-to-day finances presentation to a woman's health and wellness event. I've written a blog on managing a fluctuating income for some FIFO workers. You all know what FIFO is, yep? Fly in, fly out. Yeah, apparently they get paid really weirdly, but anyway. I've been approached for collaborations with counsellors, psychologists, companies moving from weekly to monthly pay, work cover people, tradesmen. Apparently there's a company called Tools Down who look after tradies with their bills, and because tradies are traditionally no good at looking after their finances. Prisoner rehabilitation programs, domestic violence survivor groups, uni students. I could go on, the list is endless. But the thing is, people know that I exist, they know what I do, and they know why I do it. And I think that there's a lot of people out there that just know what I do. They haven't got the stack of clients yet, but they will have. And just now, after 18 months, they're starting to come through. I monitor everything. As I said to David the other day, I have lists of potential clients, and then they either go yes or no, but I never ever let them off my radar. I've got clients that have come back in 6 months' time. I've got clients that have signed up immediately. I've got clients that keep saying they'll think about it, but I never ever let them off my radar, because nobody ever says, don't ever contact me again. I've never ever been told that. They all say, oh, I'm still thinking about it, or, you know, like that conversation that Casey just made us have, you know. So I never treat anything as a no, they're all on my radar. So my motto, I've finished with my motto, is people won't always remember what you said or what you did or what you were wearing, but they will always remember how you made them feel. So my advice is be kind, be real, be approachable, and above all else, be you. That's it.
Now, Sam, I hate to tell you this, but you ain't finished yet. Come and sit over here with me.
At least you'll be sitting. Your legs aren't shaking so much.
Oh, no.
So thank you so much for sharing that.
That's right.
I'm sure people got a lot out of it, but I think you've still got a lot more gold.
Move
sideways. That one's got legs, this one doesn't. So, if I'm one of these people out here and I'm thinking networking, that would be a good idea. What would your advice be to them if they were right now thinking, I'm going to go and start networking? Mm. The do's and the don'ts. What should they go and do right now after the weekend?
Assuming they know where all the networking is. Well, you can research where your networking is. As we know, there's BNI, the Business Networking International, which is expensive, but if you do your research, it does work, apparently, so I've taken a chance on that. But if you do your research, and there's loads of networking out there, and I would go to every one, because even if you get one client or one bit of interest from it, and it's not, networking isn't who you know, it's who they know. Mm. Yeah, so it's just, if you want to do, like, as you know, I see all my clients, apart from the one in Luxembourg, but I see them all face to face, I meet them all, I drive for an hour to the Barossa Valley or, you know, down the road for a coffee, and I see them all, I have a connection with them, so I try and keep local. So, yeah, it's getting your name out there, because we do something quite special. Another thing that I didn't mention, I've never, ever been to a networking event where somebody else does what we do, ever.
Yes, not you.
Yeah. Ever. Ever. And yet, people will, you know, you go in this in BNI, you know, because you can only have one category, people will, you know, fight for the financial advisor seat, fight for the mortgage broker seat, and then they had to create a budgeting seat for me, and they were all going, we want you to join our group, And I was going, no, I'll join the one that are close to my home, and there's loads of tradies in it, and there's 40 people in my B&I. Yeah, it's great, I love it. It's really starting to pick up, and it's awesome.
So are there any networking groups that you would say, stay away from, like any particular types?
Just I think, like you said about you being you, because people can smell like bullshit, can't they? Excuse me. Well, they can. So I think I'm not very good at pretending. So if I'm bored or, you know, and I've sat with some groups and gone, and those are the hobbyists that I talk about. You know, they just want to talk about makeup or I'm a member of a group, and it's encouraged to bring your children, which is fine. But nobody wants to talk about. You know, the focus is just taken away because there's loads of kids running around. You've got to be serious about it.
I've heard it said a few times that when you go to a networking event, it's quite likely that there are going to be a whole lot of people there who are exactly like you, starting out looking for a place to find someone to make them successful.
Yeah.
And so it's like you're there trying to find someone to help you become successful.
Yeah.
And everybody else there is exactly the same.
Mm.
So is that something that you found or that you picked up on, or have you learned how to sort of identify those people and sort of hone in on who are the people who are real, who have customers, who could be instrumental in bringing clients to you?
Yeah.
Can I answer that, Dave? Because I've been to quite a few network lunches, and I sort of after about a few of them, I went, everyone here's just trying to sell me something, or I really want to, you know. So I actually then sort of switched it around, went, well, I'm just going to focus on the ones that I really like, the financial planners, or the people, like the study group, like the student groups, or people that institutions where they had a database, or someone that may be, and sort of just deal directly with them, and have tried to, you know, just not say too much, but just get to know my face, my smile, and, you know, what I do, and then email them afterwards. Just, this is nice to meet you. This is just a little bit more on what I do. If you ever need my services later on, please just remember me. You know, just that simple point-to-point little connection dots along the way.
So I guess the tire kick is almost that I'm sort of saying, is there someone that we can identify them? So, because if you're just giving out business cards to everybody, that's great, because you want your name to be in every house in Adelaide, in your case. But you know there are some that can lead you to more clients, and some who are probably going to never ever lead you to another client, except for maybe themselves.
Yeah.
So first of all, I guess the question is, how did you find that?
Yeah.
Right. And is there anything like a strategy that I guess that you've developed to identify who were the tire kickers?
I don't know, because networking was new to me, because like I said, I didn't know what it was. And I would go in and I thought that, you know, everybody was just going to be equal, like you would, you know, like we did 2 minutes each before, you know what I mean, of that thing. Like, it's not like Lizzie says, people like just want to sell you stuff. I was like bombarded. I thought, God, I've been here half an hour, nobody's asking anything, you know what I mean? They're just all, so I think it's just about conducting yourself, and people, you know, like one day I was at a networking event, and I was stood in this group of three or four people, and I noticed that nobody had asked me what I did, and I thought, don't get upset. I was like, don't get paranoid, and everyone was doing me. And then somebody said, oh, you haven't said what you do. And I just went, oh, that's all right, I do budgeting. Anyway, did that. And he went, hold on a minute, what did you say? So after they've gone on about my accent for a bit, you know, And then I did my, you know, I'll help people pay their bills on time and save for a bright future and da da. Really, that's awesome. I'd love to buy you a coffee one day and talk to you about it. Brilliant. Give them a card, and then we carried on. You know what I mean? That's where me.
Yep.
So I think you just got to be yourself and not get hung up on stuff. And the more relaxed you are, the more confident you know. Because, like, if I just compare, and this is what after you'd asked me to do this networking talk, if I compare when I walked in a room 18 months ago to what I do now, it's completely different.
That's what I would love to share.
Yeah.
Just to add to that, what you were asking, David, about how you tell who's genuine, particularly at a formal networking association like BNI, if you're talking to someone and all they want to do is talk about themselves, they're not listening. The genuine networkers, people who are really there to help others, are listening and asking the questions. Mm. And that's how you tell the difference.
Yeah.
Because the idea of BNI is that it should be reciprocal, and you're there to learn about all the other businesses, so that when you're out and about, you can have an ear out for what they're looking for.
Yeah,
but you're not supposed to be there for yourself. That will come.
Yeah, but BNI is different because you pay a lot of money to join BNI, and then the whole thing is structured.
That's
so
right.
You actually do your one-to-one.
Yeah.
So I think we're talking about just the general free stuff in the back of the
book. It's the same principle, though.
It's the same principle, but in BNI, it's so structured that it's. You know,
but there's still people out there who are there to sell themselves rather than being there to
and they're breaking the rules, they're not really
doing
it.
Yeah.
You never have to build a relationship with people. What we're supposed to do with clients, it's about the relationship, and then the referrals come.
Kelly?
I was just outside of BNI, so I don't have experience with BNI. Don't be afraid to talk to people who are arranging the networking, because they know who your real businesses are, and they will probably great community builders themselves, so they will give you better referrals
and
point you in the right
direction.
Thank
you.
Yeah.
And
Diane, quickly. Did you find it different with the groups? Like, I go to one group that's free,
yeah,
and then two other groups that are paid. I'm checking out BNI, but I found that the free one is a different, different people in different, totally different style to the paid, the more paid ones.
No, because I think you're going to get people like the tire kickers in paid and non-paid. Like I say, you've got to get people breaking the rules in BNI and the people who are really, really professional and want to know you and your business in the free stuff. And I think it's in life, you know, it's not just networking. In life, you get people who will screw you over or, you know, waste your time or, you know, in friendships.
Yeah.
You know, you get people who think, God, you're draining the life out of me. I can't do this anymore. You know, it's the same in business. You just got to work out. Now, as I feel like I'm fine-tuning my contacts,
what
you're
doing differently now than 18 months ago. I can see, Lizzie, you've got a question, but can we come back to that?
So, 18 months ago, I would have walked in a room and I would have been, even though I'm quite chatty and friendly, I was still nervous and was on my own. So I would be going, hi, I don't know, I'm just seeing that, and then we go, and I would just waffle as soon as they ask me, whereas now it's the reverse. That's why I said there's less is more. I don't even offer to say what I do. I just wait for people to ask me.
Yeah.
And then that conversation that I said earlier where I said to the guy, do you want a coffee? And you know, and he said, yeah, yeah. And then eventually, I've been at networking events where there's been a queue of people to talk to me after, because they've gone, oh, that lady just butchered it, and then they go, I need to see you. And the amount, when I go out, and they go, oh, you've always had somebody with you, can you give me a call? You and I need to talk. You know, and it's the psychologists, the counsellors, the people who work in prisons, all of those saying, I need to speak to you. I haven't had a chance to yet because you've had people around you all the time, but here you go. And it's just getting your name out there. Because the amount of people that contact me have generally not spoken to me, they've just heard about me because they've never, do you know what I mean? It's all just...
Rockstar. Rockstar status. So, your first 12 months was 12 customers. What I picked up on when you went through your slides was that you sort of had a lot of failure for a long time, but you didn't give up.
No.
There was never any intention or thought of giving up.
No.
So there was that belief there. What was it that I guess that kept that, what stopped you from just saying, oh, this doesn't work, or I'm going to give up?
I focused on the people that were like the clients and the people that genuinely wanted to do it. And I think at the beginning, I took on everybody. Like I never said no to a client. And I think that when I got, and like I said, I don't let any of them go now, they're all on my radar, whether they're a client or not. And I think when I've got heaps more clients, and that I've got friends that are business coaches and stuff, and I used to stress over people that said no and didn't ring me back and all this. And they'd say, yeah, but there's, you know, they'd say to me like, would you be that worried about those people if you have 20 clients signing up every month?
Yep.
You'd let them go because you haven't got the time, you know what I mean? So I'm sort of fine-tuning my business to be, and I will start saying no to people, and there's people now who I've got as clients who I would have said no to, and I think it's the same with networking and everything. You just got to let the right people in, and you make decisions, and good decisions and bad decisions.
Yep.
But I think that about life, you know, with friendships, with relationships. You know, it's, you know, there's going to be people who screw you over, there's going to be people who bullshit you and stuff. It's life, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hmm.
So, all right, so give us some five things you would that do not do this. Or, you know, like as many as you can think of. Are there any, have you got any of those don't do's?
Yeah. don't do's. I would don't just make it all about you. I would always ask people what they do and be interested in them. So,
don't go in there doing exactly what you can get before that second.
I got asked what do you do? I'm a spending planner. And I think now, and I've heard you using that word budgeting, and I guess when we were taught budgeting, you know, was a no-no. Are you finding using that word budgeting is better than a spending planner?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's, yeah.
Contrary to what I would have told you.
I know, this is exactly where
that's what I said. Like,
I think that's where my confusion has been. I have tried to promote myself as a spending planner, and I was setting myself against a brick wall because it was like, what the hell is that? You know, and then they just lose interest, because if you, that word budgeting, as much as we don't want to use it, it's the only word they know.
Yeah, and do you know what? That was when I said that some things that I learned in the training I took on and did it, and one of the things that I know David said was he really liked with the word budgeting, and budget is a nasty word, and try not to have budget in your job thing. And I just thought, no, and I noticed that if I did run with the I'm a spending planner, and I spent the first half hour saying what a spending planner was, and people know what budgets are, so it gets straight to the point. And I believe, and I had a meeting this week, it's Saturday, isn't it? Yeah, this week with some people who help first home buyers and stuff, and they asked me to do a presentation at their first home buyers event about budgeting. And we were talking about how people think budget is a nasty word. And I said, but it's only the education around it. It's not a nasty word. That's why I did that video that I put on Facebook. Budgeting is not a nasty word. Now, I know David doesn't agree, but he will eventually.
I have sold 30,000 copies of software called Simply Budget. So
Yeah.
I'm going to go with branding. Yeah. Anyway. I don't use budgeting when I'm talking to people. I say we have spending mentors, or we mentor people who spend better, or we teach them how to manage money better. So it's not just a keyword that works for Sam.
Yeah.
You don't have to stop doing what you're doing, but if it's not working,
I think
then
that's part of the keyword.
I say something because it means something to me. If someone says budget to me, it's a negative thing in my head, because I had budgets that did nothing. But if somebody was teaching me how to manage money better, I love learning. So when I say teach, people who love to learn are attracted to me. And so I attract people who suit me and what I do. Yeah.
And I think as well, it's not what you say, it's how you say it.
Yeah.
And I sort of try and make everything fun, and all my emails, I've taken all David's emails and I've changed them all because I thought it's my name going on the bottom, so I've put my tape on it.
Yeah.
So they're all like, not that yours were jolly jolly and lively, and they go, and it says things like, you're nailing this, you roll over it, and it's my personality. They go, flipping heck, you know. And, you know, this client that I signed up on Thursday night, he's like, sent me on Thursday night, he sent me back his acknowledgement, you know. And then Monday, and then this morning I've sent him step three, because he just keeps firing out, and I'm on my phone this morning. Because he's just, you know, you've just got to do whatever works for you. And I think it's not what you do, it's how you say it. And I just, all my emails, so I say, and my clients know, I try and make budgeting for them. I want to help change the mentality, but only of the people who think budgeting is a negative word. It's not a negative word. You know what I mean? It's just a word, but it's a word everybody knows. So it's just easier, I think, to use it.
Anthea?
Yeah, I was just going to say that everyone out there knows they need a budget.
Yeah.
They like budgeting or not. They all kind of know that they need one, but they don't know they need a spending plan. So when you say the word budget, they get it, and they're like, oh, that's something I should have. Maybe I should listen to this person.
Yeah.
So you kind of,
yeah.
And the other thing I was going to say was just as an extension on networking, on Facebook, in Facebook groups, because I'm a member of a few networking groups on Facebook.
Yeah,
and I really notice what is not working for people on Facebook and what just post about their business all the time, over and over and over. And what does work is when they post useful information for the other people in the group. So, you know, even like, you know, really fun, you know, good quotes, good motivational quotes, like, oh, this service, did you know about this service that's available? Commenting on other people's posts and saying, you know, yes, this person's great, I really endorse what they do. And when you actually post things that are useful for people, they like on those and they comment, and then they start, things that you post start popping up in their feed. This is something a lot of people don't know about Facebook. It's really important to post useful stuff on there that people are going to like and comment on, because then when you post stuff about your business, they will read it.
Yeah, and that's why people think that I'm really active on Facebook, which I am. And every now and then I'll put something really funny. I put a picture on where it says, what could you do with that? And it was Wi-Fi, your mobile phone, this, that, and the other. And I got more hits, because I monitor all my hits. I got more comments, but because the next thing I like, it will appear in all those people. So there's a method in my madness to do. And I'll post something funny or silly or a cute puppy, and you know, I'll get their attention. And then this thing, like, I've scheduled posts for all next week because I'm on holiday after this conference. I've shared, because I did the top, you know, my Paula Testimonial, the lady from My Budget. So I also filmed 5 top facts. They're not tips, they're facts. So like, there's no shame in asking for help. And there's, and the last one, number 5, is who needs a budget? And then I say, everybody needs a budget. Like, whether you, and I use David's, I use a lot of your stuff. You can go broke on a high income and you can get rich on a low income. And you know, like my Port Adelaide player is living proof, you know, and I say to him, you're not gonna be running around Port Adelaide football pitch in 10 years time, but he's not got any savings and he's not worried about it, he's just worried about his next car.
Sure. Just in regards to networking strategy, I joined Free last year in Sydney. I think I went in with the approach to try and help as many people as I could. I really didn't talk about what I did, absolutely not initially, maybe 3 or 4 weeks in, only because it comes up in conversation.
Yeah.
So at the moment, I've probably got just 6 people who are home businesses, they're small operators, but I guess with some leads and connections that you build up over the years, you're able to introduce them to other opportunities that they haven't thought of, and I just then leave that with them. And it's a bit like standing at the shoreline, the tide going out. I'm not really expecting the tide to come back in, you just move on and try and help as many people as you can.
Yeah.
It's like building friendships, I guess.
Yeah.
So that's worked for me. Not the sales, but just in regards to, and it's early days, but just in regards to building relationships.
It's all about the relationships. Yeah.
And I guess not losing heart when you don't get that phone call or those 20 phone calls.
I literally got rid of a box of business cards and never had one phone call. Not one.
And would you say that these guys shouldn't go and get a box of business cards? Or was it the best thing you did?
No, it's the best thing I did. I think you need business cards for sure. Yeah. And fridge magnets. But just another thing as well, I think I try and help my clients with other stuff, like one of my clients is addicted to shopping, and like she's really bad.
She's my wife.
No. She's got, every time, is it Peter Alexander pyjamas comes out, she's got all of them new, she has to get them brand new, and she's got a stack of them in her, and she goes, I know, and then she talks about buying dresses, and she's a single mom, she doesn't go out, and she's got all these dresses all hung up in her wardrobe. That's good. Well, we need to sort that out, and you know, so it's an addiction. And she goes, yeah. I said, well, they're about 700 or 800. She goes, no. She goes, and then later on in the chat, she goes, you know how you said $700 or $800 for a dress? I said, yeah. She goes, they're around about $1,200. I said, are you telling me you've got dresses in your wardrobe that are $1,200, and they've still got the tags on? And she went, yeah. So we need to do a deep close. I said, are you happy for me to come around and help, and we'll get rid of our country and no? She's going, no. And the Peter Alexander, she wants them still in the cellophane and the thing, and she has to have them.
And I Googled, I went home, asked if she's still signed up, she's still my client. I went home and I Googled compulsive buying and I said, oh, you need to read this, you need to read this. She's like, you're awesome, you are. And you know, and it's just like just thinking about it. And then one of my clients, I went to her house and she's got three kids and they haven't got a TV because she can't afford a TV. You know how the universe works in mysterious ways? I am a member of Neighbour. Do you have Neighbour? Yeah, neighbourhood thing. And somebody wrote on Neighbour, literally, I got home and on Neighbour said, I've got a perfectly good TV, it's going free to a good home, it's a good digital flat screen TV, if anybody wants it, it's free. And I'm picking that up on the 1st of February and I'm going to take it to the lady who hasn't got, and her three kids were sat there going, we haven't got a TV, and it broke my heart. So I'm going to take it around, but you don't have to, you just go the extra mile for your client, you know. Just help them out. I do this, the spending planning is this. You know what I mean? My business is this much. This is the spending plan. It's everything else that I do for them. I don't talk about, when I see my clients, I don't talk about the when I see Paula, once a month. She doesn't drink. We have a Diet Coke. She costs me like $4. And she goes, I'm not opening the laptop today. You need to know that I've got $1,000 in savings and that's it. Anyway, and then she's a big Port Adelaide fan, so she talks about Port Adelaide and their kids and where they're up to. And I just chat to her. She doesn't even open a laptop. But she's quite happy to pay for that. You know, she won't put an end date on our relationship. She just goes, I need you and da da da. So it's not about the spending plan and the budgeting, it's just about everything else.
Companionship almost.
Yeah.
And that you're the go-to person.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sam.
Thanks.
I'll give you back your memory stick at lunchtime. All right, we're about to go for lunch. Let's make sure you guys are fed. I want you to find a piece of paper probably in the notes, or if you brought your own pad with you, just find a page that you can keep for the rest of the day and for tomorrow that will be just for what I'm about to talk to you about, because we're going to build up. So there's just a few words that I want you to write in there. And then tomorrow I will reveal what this is all about. Sort of a bit of a mystery tour, really, I guess. I actually meant to start this earlier, but I won't admit to being nervous or having my knees in a twist or whatever, but I didn't actually remember to do this earlier, so I've got a couple of words for you that I want you to write down that I meant to deliver earlier. So the first word I want you to write down on this special sacred piece of paper is the word emotion. And then the next one that I was supposed to give you when our guests were finished was environment.
Are we leaving the gap in between?
No.
Are we adding to the
No. So we've got emotions, we've got environment. And the next one is education. And the one for at the end of Sam's session is ego / self-esteem. So now I've caught up. Alrighty, so I want you, in fact, I'm going to just get a few people maybe to just put up your hand. What did you get from Sam's session then? Is it like, what was your takeaway, your big aha? Something that you thought, wow, that's really helped me. Anthea?
Less is more.
Less is more. So when Sam went in first and just blurted all over people, she got no outcome, but when she just says budgeting and then waits for them to come back. We're good, Sam, we're good.
I need to get my mother tongue of Scottish budgeting out to practice that. Have a cool accent.
So less is more. Anybody else?
Just being yourself.
Being yourself?
Yeah.
Yep.
Just being yourself.
Yep.
Persistence.
Yeah, because obviously, I've had long conversations with people who've come down the training and 2 weeks later they're a failure because they haven't got a customer. And, you know, like, they will come, but you've got to basically this. For me, when I realised this was what I wanted to do, I realised this is what I wanted to do for the rest of my life. Not for the next 2 weeks or the next 2 months until it worked. It was like, I know this
I have to share this with everybody. And I'm hoping, I'm expecting that when you guys sort of took the oath, if you like, it was like, I know this can work. I know this can work for me. I'm going to do whatever I have to do to make it work, because there are so many people whose lives we can touch and change. And all you've got to do is work out how to be the you that attracts them. Yes, Sam?
I do. No, I meant to say, I've got a second client now who is used to be with My Budget, and she was with My Budget for years and years, and then she said, I can do this by myself, and then went on her own and got herself in a mess again, and then she went back twice. And then when I met with her for a coffee, she said, I just didn't know you existed. She said, I would never have gone to My Budget for the second time if I knew you existed. And I'm thinking, she still didn't know I existed. I'm into a million things. Like, all my all my cards are out there. And right, it's just a numbers game. You know what I mean? So, and the only reason she knew I existed is because her husband is the stepdad of the girl I was going to give the TV to. Friend was at the house when I was there. Do you know what I mean? So when did this all fall? Somebody liked it, and she said the only reason you were sat there is because. Michelle liked a post of yours, and she said, I thought, oh, and she just heard Spending Made Easy, and she thought, oh, and then I researched you, and I thought, I need to meet this woman. It's only because somebody she knows liked my page, video, whatever.
You've got no idea what you do today and how it will impact and come back to you tomorrow. In fact, Anthea phoned me yesterday and told me that I was going to get a phone call. Now, I don't know, it might have been 8 or 10 years ago, a friend of Anthea's was a client on a course that I used to offer that was called Simple Wealth Steps. And this friend of Anthea's husband is a radio announcer with the ABC. He rang me yesterday and invited me to be a regular spot on an ABC radio show. Because Anthea got to know about me because of the friend who, it's years.
The other way around.
Other way around. Oh, okay. Oh, sorry, I thought.
And just to kind of throw in there, her husband, they're now separated, he's the radio announcer, hated it. Hating Simply Budgets, would not do it, wouldn't have a bar of it.
He couldn't get enough from me yesterday. He couldn't get enough from me yesterday.
How ironic is that?
Yep. So you just don't know what you do, how it's going to come back to you. But all the time, with your networking, we're networking all the time, you're planting seeds and you've got no idea how they're going to come back to you, but they will.
So when are you on the radio?
Sorry?
When are you on the radio?
On Thursday. Starting Thursday.
Or just like
ABC Illawarra, I'm not quite sure. Yeah.
That's right.
Okay. Well, 9:05 next Thursday, I'm on. So I did say to you guys in an email late last year, my goal for this year for the Institute is to get as much media publicity as we can, because I want Australia to know about who we are and what we do.
On that note then, I think it's really important that we start sharing and liking posts on Facebook, particularly the Spending Institute posts. You know, we need to start sharing those on our own pages and start
Absolutely.
Getting them out there and liking them. Because otherwise, they don't go anywhere.
Well, you just imagine the 30 of us in this room, if we just all made a commitment to do that.
And see,
we're going to have a talk about Facebook soon. So, yeah, we'll get to that. All right, Kathy.
And it's acceptable to come in and eat it here if you like.
All right, so before you go for lunch, don't forget those little forms that I gave you earlier, the boxes up the back there. So before the end of today, before you leave today, if you've got questions or suggestions in that box, I put some pocket pals up the back there. Feel free to have a look what's in there. You might find that they would be something that you'd like to give to your clients. All right, so lunch goes until 1:30. I'll need you back in here ready to go at 1:30. Enjoy. Thank you.
Can I whip that out?
I'm just going
to
whip it out.
Whip it out.
Whip it in.
Sorry.
Whip it out.
Now, Alan was going to come in and have a look at why that sound's not working on mine.
Yep. I'm going to get on to the AV people and see if they've got a longer lead. I had this great big long one. I'm not sure it was in my kit, but do you think I can find it? It must be at home somewhere.
So
we'll...
So he might...
So yeah, he's absolutely welcome to do that. Yes, but I found that I met him.
So slide.